right now, let's take your Bible, whether yours is on an electronic edition like mine, or it might be leather bound, either way, on your phone, hold it up. Let's take our Bibles and let's say the words that are up on the screen as we prepare our hearts to receive God's word. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. It is the indestructible, incorruptible, everlasting, living word of God. I receive it now by faith, and I believe that my life will forever be changed. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today that your word has within it the power to bring about needed change, healing, strength in our life. And we receive it today. Lord, I ask that you take the message that I deliver and you apply it individually to every person here so that they will be blessed, refreshed, and strengthened by your word today. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we are in a series right now that we've simply entitled Spiritual Warfare. And in this series, we're simply teaching you battle strategies from the Word of God, truths from God's Word that will help you win spiritual battles. Because there is a spiritual battle going on in each of our lives. And so we're going to continue with that today. And I want to continue with the message that I've entitled, Faith is a Shield. And so go with me, if you will, to the book of Ephesians. I want to take you back to our text scripture. And I want to remind you of four vital truths. They're like foundational truths that you need to build upon. Now, the truth I'm going to give you today has to be built on these four truths. Get these right, and then you can build on those. So let me remind you of those. Ephesians 6, 11 and 12. Put on all God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Now, here's the first truth we learn from this passage. Paul, writing to the church of that day, teaching them about spiritual warfare. Number one, we must acknowledge that we are in a spiritual battle. And though invisible, it's our battle. Come on, some people need to get in the battle. The battle's going on. They may even be defeated, but they think it's not their battle. Or they don't recognize that it is a spiritual battle. And they're trying to fight a natural battle, and it's not natural. It's spiritual. Good versus evil. In the world and in our lives. Here's the second truth. We need to know who our enemy is, or we put it this way, know who your enemy is and know who your enemy isn't. Come on, who isn't your enemy? Paul brings that out in this passage. And here's what he says. People are not your enemy. We gave the illustration of the matador. And that matador holds out the little red cloth for the bull. And the bull gets mad and he charges the red flag. And every time he charges the red flag, the matador sticks him again. So then he's even madder and he charges. Quit fighting people. If the bull would just move over about 6 inches, he'd get his real enemy. Come on, if you would just realize that people are not your enemy and quit fighting people. There's some people who want to fight with you. Just don't fight. Now, this brings us to number three. While people are not our enemy, we must recognize evil spirits are arrayed against us. Here in this passage, Paul calls them out. He talks about the evil influences. He calls them evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world. He talks about mighty powers in this dark world. It's evil spirits in heavenly places. The first message in this series, we just put it out as a question, and we said, are demons real? Yes, they are. And there are evil influences in this world. Ever felt oppressed? I mean, you see such wickedness going on, and you think, how could they do that? How could somebody believe that? Come on, evil influence, we must recognize that evil spirits are arrayed against us. And then number four, oh, I love this one. This is the good news. Put on God's armor. A well-dressed soldier wins the war. A well-dressed soldier wins. Come on, anybody like to win? I know you like to win. You play all those games at the little store trying to win. Now, but I'm sure y'all don't buy those cards where you scratch them off and try. Come on, we love to win. God put it within the human heart to be a winner. He has called us to win the spiritual battles, but we got to be a well-dressed soldier. And so in this series, we've been talking about God's armor. And today we want to move on to the shield of faith. And so let's keep reading in Ephesians, and let's begin this message today, faith is a shield. Verse 13 of Ephesians 6, it says, therefore put on every piece of God's armor so you'll be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you will still be standing firm. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news so that you will be fully prepared. Verse 16, in addition to all these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Here's what we learn. Faith is a shield. Faith is a shield. Can you hand me my little faith shield there? Somebody made me this little faith shield so I can use it as an illustration. Faith is a shield. Why does a soldier need a shield? For protection. The reason you need protection is the Bible taught us that we have an enemy who is after us, who is literally shooting flaming arrows at us. Some people have dropped their shield. Some people haven't picked up their shield in a while. Some people can't find their shield. Come on, how's your faith? How are you doing with your faith? The Bible doesn't say drag your faith shield along behind you. No, it says hold up. Hold up your faith shield. In other words, an active, living, vibrant faith. You do it intentionally. Staying protected. Now, I do want you to notice this. The Bible doesn't say that faith in Jesus will stop the enemy from shooting his arrows. Oh, wouldn't that be nice? No, he's going to shoot the arrows. But what he tells you to do, that it won't matter if the enemy shoots his flaming arrows, because I'm giving you a shield of faith. Come on, shield yourself with your faith. Now, let's define faith. Now, you know that the New Testament was written. Well, let me just say this too, even before we define it. For a shield to be effective, you got to hold it up. You got to make sure that it's up. And if we don't hold it up, we leave ourselves unprotected and an easy target for the enemy. Listen, don't be target practice for the demons. And the devil said, oh, go practice over there. They never have their shield of faith up. Yeah. No, we don't want to be that person. Come on. But what is faith? You know, the New Testament was written in Greek, and so you go to the Greek, and so I went to Thayer's Greek Dictionary, and here's how Thayer's Greek Dictionary defines faith. Conviction of the truth of anything, belief, a conviction or belief respecting man's relationship to God and divine things. You see, what you and I believe about our relationship with God protects us from the enemy. It's divine protection. What you believe about your relationship with God, what you think about God, how you think He thinks about you. All of that is faith. What are you convinced of? What have you gone to the Bible and you've meditated and you've taken that promise and you say, I believe that. What you believe is your shield of faith, and it will quench the fiery darts. Now in Thayer's, it uses the word convicted. When we think about convicted, we think about somebody being convicted of a crime. But we know what it means. It means to be convinced. Are you convinced about God's love for you? Have you thought about, are you using your faith shield? Now, Spyros Zodiotis, who's also a Greek scholar, he defines this word faith in a very similar way, but he simply says it's confidence in divine truths. You know, there's some things that are just naturally true that you have some confidence in. If your car runs out of gas and everything else is working on it, you're pretty confident that the car's going to start if you just put some gas in it because you let it run out. But you're confident. Somebody say, oh, that car's never going to run again. You say, oh, no, it's going to run again. Just need some gas. Well, listen, you may have lost one battle, but you don't have to lose every battle. Come on, because you're confident that faith, if you pick up your faith again, some of you need to pick up your faith. Some of you need to go back to what you believe about your relationship with God, about what you believe about Jesus, that He has forgiven you, that you can have peace, that you've got a divine destiny, that God is on your side. Come on, all of a sudden, you got the shield of faith up, and you are quenching every fiery arrow. Yes. Now listen, some say, I wish I had faith like so-and-so. Well, faith, just like many other natural and spiritual things, faith has to be exercised for it to grow, for it to become stronger. You know, we all have muscle. From the moment you're born, the tiniest little baby has a muscle. But some exercise, and you can tell it. And some don't, and you, well, never mind. Come on, I remember when Jeff and I first met and we were dating, and so people wanted to see who this guy was, wanted to marry Pastor Jane and be in a relationship, and as he said, he had to jump through all these hoops with my family and some of my friends, even the church. And so I remember taking him, that's 17 years ago, it took him up to some friends that are like family, the Gilligans, and we drove up to Ocala, and so we went in and we sat down with Tim and Alicia, and you know, we're just chatting, getting to know one another. And then Alicia and I went into the other room, and then Tim is going to grill him, you know, man to man, find out if he approves. So when Alicia and I walked in the other room, my friend says to me, you know what, he's a runner. And I said, how'd you know that? And she said, his calf muscles. So he's got good calf muscles. Don't look at mine, okay? I'm not a runner. But come on, you can tell. And see, you see that person that seems to be winning their spiritual battles, and you wonder, how do they do that? They exercise their faith. Yeah. Now, let me make sure you understand this, too, about your pastor. You see, sometimes people get a little confused, and I understand sometimes it's easy to do that. But as a pastor, I have a gifting to teach, to lead you, to pastor you, to care for you, to, you know, help the church and minister to the church. That's a gifting. But when it comes to Jane walking out my faith, the devil doesn't go, oh, that's Pastor Jane. He didn't care about that. I got to use my faith. I got to use my faith just like you use your faith. That's why some people go, wow, that minister, you know, he did all these great things, or she did all these great, and then they were caught in adultery, or that. It's just two different things. Gifting and life. Now, eventually, if you don't walk the walk and talk the talk, your gifting, your character is going to catch up with you and you're going to fall. You see, I am gifted to stand here and teach you. But Monday morning, I got to pick up my shield just like you pick up your shield. And listen, but that ought to encourage you, because when I win a battle personally, that means you can follow me, because it's not some anointing as pastor on me. It's because I'm walking out my faith. Come on, we are side by side as believers together. I share my gifting with you, but then I get in the trenches and I'm right there with you. Come on, I gotta live the life, I gotta walk the walk, I gotta talk the talk. Oh man, I wish it was a gifting. I'd like that. But we think that, you know, Billy Graham, or, you know, he's gone on to be with the Lord, but Franklin, you know, these people, Joyce Meyer, we think that she has some kind of special. No, no, no. The reason why her ministry is so powerful is because she has walked it out in her personal life, and she knows that it works. She knows the shield of faith will quench the fiery darts of the enemy. Come on. What battle are you in right now? What battle are you facing? Are you winning? Are you losing? Or just hanging on for dear life? Listen, today, here's what God's telling you. Today, God's saying, pick up your shield. Yes. Saying, pick up your faith. Maybe you've just forgotten or lost sight of the love of God for you, or you thought God forgot you because of what you're going through. And really, God's saying, if you'll pick up the faith, maybe it's just faith in my love for you, faith in my forgiveness for you. But come on, that's faith. You see, here's what's wonderful, and here's why the enemy can't take us out, is because we don't just have faith for things. Oh no, that's shallow faith. I mean, when I was a baby, when I was in my faith, you know, when I was in Bible school and just learning some things about how to use my faith, oh, the Lord let me use it. You know, I've told y'all this story before. The Lord let me use my faith for a pair of jeans. I mean, I was in Bible school. I couldn't go out and shop. But I was living with a roommate at the time that wasn't going to Bible school. In fact, I didn't even know about her relationship with the Lord. I didn't know if it was existing or not. I didn't see any. She was gone a lot. I was only in that particular apartment because her mother was a strong believer and had made a connection with my family, and they offered me the room and the condo because the mother was going to be gone for the year. So I come and live with her daughter. Well, I didn't speak to her daughter very much. I mean, literally, the whole year we lived together, we probably spoke maybe 25 words the whole year. She's just gone a lot. And quiet, nice, but, you know, she's gone a lot. And so I remember praying because I needed some jeans, and my Bible school was telling me to start on something small with your faith that really is of no consequence. Like, if you don't get it, it's okay. You know? But I thought, okay, God, you said you'd meet all my needs. I need a new pair of jeans. Do you know what happened about 2 weeks later, after I just said, God, I believe I receive, and just my faith? This young girl knocks on my door, on the bedroom door. Kind of startled me because, you know, again, she wasn't mean, but we just didn't communicate. And she said, excuse me, Jane. She said, I bought this pair of jeans. And she said, but they're really too small for me. But she said, I don't want to really take them back, but I bet they'll fit you. And I'm thinking, I bet they will. Come on. Now listen, when you're just starting in faith, God will do some things. Because you see, the enemy is saying, God don't care about you. You know, God's not going to take care of you here at school. You know, you got a lot of, you're trying to go to school. You got, you know, working part time. How are all your gonna needs be met? And when I got those jeans, and especially when I put them on and they fit, there you go, devil. He loves me so much, he gave me these jeans. How do you think I felt every time I wore them? Now listen, folks. I don't have to believe for jeans anymore. I got married. He buys me jeans. But listen, now I can use my faith on different things for people. Yeah. Come on. I can join my faith with people. Join my faith with you. Join my faith and believe in God that I'll do everything He's called me to do in pastoring this church for you. Come on. We can grow our faith, but we got to exercise. And some of you, you know, God may tell you, hey, some of you may just need to believe for gas.
That's right.
For the week. We'll start there. But no, it's crazy. Don't believe for a Mercedes-Benz if you just got Volkswagen or Ford faith. Start where you are. If you got scooter faith, come on. Listen, what we believe with corresponding action brings a win every single time. But let's talk about achieving victory. I want to just build your faith. I got to keep going right now. Achieving victory, 1 John 5:4, it says, for every child of God defeats this evil world, and we achieve this victory through our faith. And who can win this battle against the world? Only those who believe that Jesus is the Son of God. You see, what we believe, our faith, and in this particular instance, what we believe about Jesus, come on, not just for something. You see, here's why, even with the genes. If I wouldn't have gotten the genes, let's hear some reason, I'd never gotten those genes. The devil wouldn't have taken me out, because you see, my faith is not for something. My faith is in someone. I'd have still been standing. And then now I got all the genes I want. And give them away all the time. In fact, I do have some genes now that I need to give away. If anybody, if you look and you're about my size, see me afterwards. I give some away. Now listen, achieving victory. He said the way we achieve victory is with our faith, what we believe about Jesus. And he says that faith is the conviction. We learn faith is the conviction of the divine truth, of a divine truth. What divine truth in your life right now, if you grabbed hold of, would bring you victory in that battle that you're in right now, would protect you from some things? Faith people are high achievers. They're achieving victory. Come on, what you believe with corresponding action brings a win. Listen to 1 John 5:4. I love this. It's the Passion Translation. Same scripture, but a different translation. You see, every child of God overcomes the world, for our faith is the victorious power that triumphs over the world. So who are world victorious conquerors defeating its power? Those who believe that Jesus is the Son of God. A living faith has the kind of power that defeats evil forces and brings about triumph. Faith defeats our enemy and delivers the victory. Come on, faith defeats our enemy and delivers the victory. That's why it's so important what you believe. That's why it's so important that you go to a good church, and I know one. That teaches you the truths. One of our things we say here at Faith Life Church is we empower people to live by faith in Christ. Why? Because we want you to win the battles. There's a spiritual battle going on. And let me just say this. There is an evil world out there. If you don't think the world is evil, if you don't think there's this force of evil in the world, even just this last week, I couldn't believe what I was reading and what I was hearing. And that is the state of California passed a law. Their state sent a state Congress, passed a law, and now all it's waiting. I don't know, maybe the governor already signed it. It's just waiting for the governor's signature. And here's the law. The law decreases, limits the consequence, the punishment for sex offenders. And it also limits it so that they no longer have to register. In certain, and I'm not going to go into, you know, all the things, but it's for sexual predators, and it limits it. If the victim is within 10 years of the perpetrator and the victim gives consent, then the fee, the consequence is limited, and they don't have to register. Already signed. Now tell me what 11-year-old can give a 21-year-old permission. What 8-year-old can give an 18-year-old permission, signed into law? How could people think that's a good thing? And now it's just 10 years apart, and after it's signed into law, how many of you know things move? Once 10 years, well, then 15, Come on. If we don't think there's evil influences, that's why we need to pray. I don't care what political party they are. We need to pray for people in office that they are not influenced. Somebody got influence there. We need to stand against those things. Now, Ephesians 16, let's talk about quenching the flaming arrows. Ephesians 6:16, out of the New Living or New International Version, it says, In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Ooh, have you ever said, I got burned? I got burned in that relationship. I got burned in that business deal. Can you hand me my arrow? Well, the enemy throws flaming arrows at us. I know you are glad that I didn't try to light this up. But he throws flaming arrows. Have you ever heard somebody say that person was burning with lust? How many marriages have disintegrated because the enemy threw an arrow, a burning arrow of lust? Oh, that young woman, she's cute. Oh, that guy, he'll take care of you better than your husband does. Your husband doesn't love you anymore. Oh, that girl, she can fulfill your needs. That young, pretty thing, that's for you. Come on. Shooting an arrow. How about greed? And I'm talking about big greed. I'm talking about even little things. We destroy our finances because the enemy says, oh, you need that new electronic thing. You deserve it. Come on, you need that new phone. Now, you know you don't have the money to do that. You know you're putting up the credit cards. And I'm not talking about a single mom that's trying to survive. I'm talking about to you. Come on, a single mom? Other people, you know, how many arrows of condemnation and guilt and shame? And how do we stop? Some people are burning up with condemnation. Some people are burning up with guilt because the enemy has gotten in there, burning up their peace, causing anxiety, a flaming arrow. But can I just make sure you understand this? There is someone who is shooting flaming arrows at you.
Amen.
That thought just wasn't your idea to do that, to say that. Ephesians 6:16, Rick Renner, who's a Greek scholar and a pastor, he says this. He says, Ephesians 6:16, it could actually be translated, above all, taking the shield of faith by which you will be dynamically empowered. Yeah, the flaming arrows are real, but also that scripture doesn't just say the enemy is shooting arrows at you. He says if you will pick up your shield of faith, you will be dynamically, spiritually empowered. Wow. Wow. The shield of faith, better than the Captain America shield. You know Captain America, he's losing the battle and then he gets his shield and that shield does all kind of crazy things for him. Come on, it's his shield. It's your shield. It's your faith. Pick it up. Use it. And the Bible says you can quench every one of the enemy's flaming arrows. Yes, he's shooting them. Our faith. Our faith shield acts like an impenetrable wall of defense against the enemy's tactics. Wow. In other words, the enemy cannot penetrate our faith. We win. Let me look at this word, extinguish. Quench. Some translations say we extinguish the flaming arrows. Some say we quench them. Both those words, same. They literally mean drowning in water. It's the word quench, extinguish means drowning in water. Now, let me tell you why that's significant. Because back in those days, and Paul was writing in the day of the Roman army, and the Roman soldiers would have their shield, but their shield was made of porous materials. And so what they would do, because of the way the battles happened in those days, flaming arrows, they would literally soak their shield in water before they went to battle. Then when they went out to battle, their shield, when that flaming arrow went into their shield wouldn't burn up because of the water. Or even better yet, if it was completely drenched, it would even put out the arrow. Drenched, soaked. Well, how do we get our shield so it's drenched and soaked, so it quenches every one of the enemy's arrows? Let's look at that. You need to defend yourself. I'm going to talk to you about how to do just that. Listen to your pastor today. Defend yourself. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. It says, stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour, Stand firm against him and be strong in your faith. Now, first of all, you got to realize the devil is on the prowl. He is looking. He's out there looking for someone to devour. But here's what I like about that passage. It says, it also says, or it indicates or suggests that some he can devour, some he can't. Some he can't devour. I want to be one of those ones that he can't devour. He's looking and he just passes me up. Yeah, she's got her shield of faith up. He can't devour. He may even shoot it, not to no avail. Well, he's looking for those he can devour. Weak faith not only makes us an easy target. Come on. Or just say this, weak faith makes us an easy target. Strong faith protects us. So how do we strengthen our faith? Let me tell you, I'm going to close, just give you 2 points as we close out this morning. I want to give you 2 ways to strengthen your faith so that your shield is soaked, drenched, quenching the flaming arrows. Here we go. Let me give you 2 scriptures. Romans 10:17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. 2 scripture, Ephesians 5:26, to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word. Now, in the second passage, Paul talking there about Jesus and what he does for the church, he said he washes her by speaking the word of God over her like water. In other words, he indicates or he likens the word of God to water. In the first passage, Romans 10:17, he said faith comes by hearing. So here's the first way to have strong faith. Soak in God's truths, promises, hearing and meditating upon them. If you hear God's word, faith comes. And then that's kind of like, you know, putting a little water on your shield, you know. But meditating, come on, soak your shield. So you want strong faith, then soak your shield. Not only read your Bible, read it, listen to the word. And if we listen to the word as much as we listen to news, especially right now, we need to stay informed, but we don't need to be overwhelmed. Turn it off. You heard enough. Go online. Sometimes I just go online and check out some things for the church with CDC. Just make sure we're safe, we're doing the right thing, headed in the right direction. Also, I want to rejoice over things that are happening that are good things. I want to make those known. It was good to hear the CDC come out and say, out of the over 150,000, I believe, that were died with COVID, they came out and said, listen, we want you guys to know only 6% of those died from COVID. The others had 2 or more, you know, symptoms or conditions. Thank you. Conditions in their life that caused them, that caused the COVID to come on. That's good news that we think, ooh, well, okay. It didn't take out that many on its own. These other people already had conditions, which also says, hey, keep yourself safe if you've got some conditions. Believe God if you've got some conditions. But come on, we need to know the truth. You need to know the truth about God's word. Don't get overwhelmed with it. Soak. Here's the second thing. Ephesians 6:16. In addition to all of these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery devil. Number 2, the way to have strong faith, pick up your shield. And when I say pick up your shield, what I'm saying is exercise your faith, releasing it through the words of your mouth and actions. Say something, do something. Speak the word of God, talk the word of God, release your faith, and then act like you believe those truths. Act in a way. Act like you're love. Come on. When Jeff first, you know, we came together and, you know, we were in love, boy, I acted like it. Come on, that somebody loved me. Yeah, I acted. You need to act like God loves you. You know, I love to go to the beach, and last week I did go over to the beach for a couple of days, and one end of the street, you can go down there, and there's the Gulf or the bay, the inlet, and you can see the sunrise. And then you go to the beach, and you can see the sunset. And somebody else was watching it, and I thought, do they know my dad? Come on, I want to think about the promises of God. I think about God's faithfulness. Has the sun ever not risen? Has the sun ever not set? No. Then he will be faithful to me. Come on, soak, meditate, exercise my faith. Speak it out. Bring it to mind. Have you ever seen that? I got to stop. But remember the Wizard of Oz? Remember the Wicked Witch of the West? And Dorothy goes to throw some water on the scarecrow because he's burning up. And the water goes on the Wicked Witch of the West. And all of a sudden she says, you don't look like it. And she just begins to melt. Listen, some of you pick up your shield. Get it soaked. Pick up your shield of faith. And then the devil, you're going to hear the devil say, you dirty little Christian. Right, say, you faith-filled Christian, who taught you about that shield of faith? I said, can I just say this? Wrapping all this message up today, it's faith for the win. Come on, you want to win? Faith for the win. Pick up your shield. Faith is like a shield. Amen. Did you get something out of that today? I pray that you did.